Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you today. Isn't it wonderful to be back together? Those of you that are gathering online, whether it's your family or in a watch party, we want to thank you for joining us too. Last Easter, we weren't able to be together live because of our situation in our country. So it's been 2 years since we've been together. It's great to be together celebrating Jesus' resurrection today. Amen. No, there is a Bible app you can get at your app store, and it's one of the ones that we include when you download the church app, and it's called the YouVersion Bible app. And the YouVersion Bible app allows people to go online and to look up words or topics or to find a Bible reading plan or to have different aspects about what life is about and find answers from the Bible. And it's interesting, YouVersion Bible app came out with a little notification, a year summary over 2020, and they looked back on 2020 and they saw some very interesting things happen. First of all, they saw that they had an 80% increase in people using the app. Last year, over 600 million people went onto the YouVersion Bible app to look something up. At the beginning of 2020, the words were common, like, you know, New Year. People were looking up, like, Bible reading plans, things like goals. But as the pandemic began to take place and as COVID began to hit, the word searches started changing. And they had an 80% increase in the searches, and the number one word that they found being searched for in 2020 was the word what? Fear. Fear. And then as the year progressed, it changed a little bit to hope or to peace. And they wrote in this article that the number one verse that was searched for last year was this verse out of Isaiah chapter 41. Do not what? Fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you. How many of you did that last year? Like, what's going on around here? What's going on? For I am your God. I will strengthen you and surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Fear. You know, normally when we come to the Easter story, we like to take a closer look at the tomb and the resurrection. But this year, I wanted to take a little bit different perspective. I want to go like a mile or a mile and a half away from the tomb and away from the soldiers and away from Jesus' resurrection. And I want to go to a house just outside Jerusalem. And in this house, there's a bunch of people. It's Easter Sunday morning. The house is full of people. And the people that are in this house are Jesus' closest friends and followers. And they're trying to figure out what in the world is going on. They had spent as much as 3.5 years with Jesus. They had witnessed his miracles. They'd heard his teachings. They took to heart his promises. And now all of a sudden Jesus was arrested and he was crucified and he was laid in this tomb and the soldiers were guarding the tomb from some kind of mischief and the governor had put his seal around the tomb so nobody could get into it. And now Sunday morning happens, and such an interesting passage in the Bible that's connected to the Easter story, it says this. So when it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, this is Easter Sunday, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them what? Peace be with you. A couple of words. Notice what it says here, that it was the doors were shut. Not just one, but what? All of them. These folks that were Jesus' closest friends and followers had locked all the doors. And the word shut there doesn't mean it's just been latched. It means it's been deadbolted. It's been locked. They were in fear. And it's so interesting. Why would the disciples be in fear? It says here they were in fear for the Jews. But Jesus showed up. And it's so incredible that Jesus' first words out of his mouth weren't like, what in the world are you doing? His first words out of his mouth were what? Peace be with you. I want to talk for a little bit this morning about how to move from fear to peace. I'm hoping that as we move forward as a world through this COVID thing, and as we're coming out of it, that we would put to rest all of our fears. And we know there's a couple different kinds of fears, right? There's a couple different kinds. There's the fears that are just kind of caught up in the moment, and then you laugh about them later, right? Like you got scared about something, or someone scared you, or the kids were gone, you couldn't find them, or the kids were gone and you didn't want to find them, you know, and you're just like, this fear kind of stirs up. And then you laugh about it later. You know, I remember one time a couple years ago, I was doing a wedding ceremony, and I was standing in the ceremony, the bride and the groom, the groomsmen, the bridesmaids, the families were there. And in my folder, I always have four pages. It's the first one is the order of service. The next one is the little sermon that I give. The third one is the questions and the vows. And then the last page is the announcements of the bride and groom to the wedding, to the party. So I'm sitting in this beautiful setting, and I go through the first page. Okay, we're all here. Who gives this woman to be married to this man? That's great. I give my little sermon, and when I'm done with my sermon, I turn the page, and the page that was supposed to have the questions and the vows is gone. And the vows were long. And I'm panicked. Fear has struck my heart. In the most sacred commitment that two human beings can make to each other, I have nothing here. I am making up vows as I go here. When God parts you and then, no, that's not what happened. That's not what happened. You know, we laugh about it now. And all of us experience those kinds of momentary fears and panics. But what this verse is talking about is something much more deep than that. Much deeper than that. These dear friends and followers of Jesus were locked in this house, doors barred, windows barred. The emotion in the room is fear. And I think it would be super fascinating to be able to go back in time and to listen to the conversations taking place. And as I thought about that and this phrase, fear of the Jews, I think in that room there were four fears. Four fears. The first fear, I think, is the fear of failure. These folks had given their life to Jesus. Jesus had laid out a plan. They bought into that plan. They left businesses. They left family to join the movement of Messiah, and now he's gone. And they realize, or at least they think in the moment, we failed. The whole plan was shot down. The fear of failure is strong in this room. The hurt that causes, the confusion that failure brings when you're trying to follow God. The second fear in the room is the fear of loss. Jesus made a bunch of promises to the people in this room. He had a plan. He had a kingdom. He had rewards for them. He had plans for after he went back to heaven. He had laid it all out, and he was telling them how great it was to follow him and how God the Father was going to reward them in such ways. And now it's gone, and they've seemed to have lost it all. The fear of loss is huge. Have you ever had what is called the death of a dream? You dream something so strongly and so big, and then all of a sudden it all falls apart, and you realize that dream for my life is never going to happen. The death of a dream is an emotionally incredible, fearful thing. Their dreams were evaporating. Now it says they were in fear of the Jews. They were in fear of pain and hurt and literal persecution. It was the Jewish leadership that drove the Romans to crucify Jesus on the cross. And they're sitting in this room thinking, those same Jewish leaders, now that they've gotten done with Jesus, they're going to come after us. And they're sitting in this room. That's why they're locking the doors and they're barring the windows, because they're expecting to hear the sounds of soldier marching and the pounding of the door. I don't know about you, but in the last couple of decades, as the persecution of Christians around the world has grown, I've thought more about how I would respond when, if it really came my turn to decide death or Jesus, would I deny him? I'm like that old famous writer that said, I don't mind dying, I just don't want to be there when it happens, you know? How we go out of this world, or how we think we might go out of this world, could cause fear. Fear. I think there was the fear of pain in that room, the fear of persecution. And I think maybe the strongest fear is just the fear of the uncertain future. When you think you have glimpsed into the future and you think you know the plan that God might have for you, and you've been told by Jesus, here's what's coming next, and then that whole picture gets sideswiped by his death and burial, and now all of a sudden you're not sure about the future. It's become cloudy, it's become dark, it's become unknown. And if we go down the rabbit hole of wanting to know our future, we can become fearful because our future is uncertain. Somebody once wrote that the only thing worse than not knowing the future is what? Knowing it. So these are some fears that are being talked about in this room. As the doors are shut and bolted and the windows are barred and it's a hush, and they're just trying to figure out what in the world has happened in the last 48 hours, we seem to have failed in our mission. We seem to have lost everything we had hoped for. We seem to be getting set for hurt and persecution, and our future is unknown. And I would venture to guess, based on the YouVersion Bible app and the 600 million searches last year, that some of us, even in today's culture, are fearful of these things. That we're looking at our lives and saying, wow, this past year there's been failure. This past year there's been loss, and there might be more coming. This past year there's been pain and hurt. And most of all, what in the world's going to happen tomorrow? Where's this whole world going to tomorrow? That's why I love the response we saw in that passage that said the first thing that Jesus did when he showed up in that space was say what? Peace be with you. Because the first thing that Jesus always brings in the door is what? Peace when there's fear. You know, these types of circumstances, fear and loss and hurt and pain and persecution and uncertainty, are the very kinds of circumstances that God uses to draw people to himself. So many times we might think that if my life is going really great, then I'm going to come to Jesus. When in fact, what's true? Most of the time, the opposite is true. That when life has run out of ideas, or when my mind and my heart have gone down the rabbit hole of fear again, or uncertainty or anger or bitterness or whatever it happens to be, when I'm down in the rabbit hole and I can't get myself out, or circumstances are beyond my control and they're not going well, those are the typical circumstances where people come to Jesus. If we look at the history of Jesus' life, it wasn't the super spiritually mature and the saintly people that ran to Jesus. It was the hurting and the sick and the fearful. Why? Because these are the very circumstances that Jesus uses to draw people to himself. You know why? Because Jesus offers freedom from fear. Peace be with you. In fact, in that paragraph in the Bible where this episode is written about, Jesus says this phrase twice, peace be with you. And then he shows him his hands where he was pierced in his side. And again, he says to them a second time, peace be with you. What God offers to us today, just as he was offering to the folks in that room, is peace. It's peace. Well, how can he offer peace? Well, the first thing that he offers is full acceptance. Full acceptance, free forgiveness, fresh start. That no matter what these folks have been fearful of, no matter what's been going on in their lives and in their hearts, no matter what they've done in their past, Jesus walks into the room and the first thing he says is, peace be with you. And another way of saying that is, I'm here for you. And we find full acceptance. If we fast forward that idea to today, I could confidently say before you now, Jesus fully accepts you today as you are and where you are. He offers his free grace, his free forgiveness, and your failures and your losses, they don't identify you and define you to him. Full acceptance. He wants to bring peace into my failures. He wants to bring peace into my loss. Full comfort, full healing. The Bible never tells us that Jesus offers us freedom from difficulties or freedom from loss or freedom from hurt. What he does offer to us is his full comfort during times of loss, his full comfort during times of failure, his full comfort during times of difficulty, and ultimately his healing, whether it's here or whether it's in heaven. He offers you full healing for your pain, full healing from your persecution, full healing from your suffering. He's a God of all comfort. And then thirdly and fourthly, he offers you a full path and his full plan. God only knows where he wants your life to go, but he also knows how to get you from where you are to where he desires for you to go. He offers you his full plan and he offers you his full pathway to get to that plan. See, this counteracts my fear of failure, my fear of loss, my fear of hurt, and my uncertain future. It counteracts. His peace counteracts all of those fears in my life. There's a great story in the first part of your Bible called the Old Testament. It's all the stuff before Jesus. And about 800 or 900 years before Jesus lived, there was a guy named Daniel. And Daniel was a Jewish boy that was taken into slavery or was deported into Babylon. And he became a helper to the king. He actually rose up in the ranks and became a helper to King Nebuchadnezzar. And King Nebuchadnezzar was having some dreams that were keeping him up at night. And all of King Nebuchadnezzar's wise men and conjurers couldn't figure out the dream. And Daniel was told by God what the dream was and what the meaning of the dream was. And so as Daniel awakens from his vision of what the king's dream is all about, he pauses for a moment, and this is what he says about God. Look what he says about God. He says, it is God who reveals the profound and hidden things, who knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. The hidden things here and the darkness is talking about the future. Daniel looked at the future as if it was a dark, mysterious room. Your future, my future, our country's future, our world's future is a dark room and we can't see into it. And sometimes God gives us a little tiny flashlight and he lets us click it on and see into the future a little bit, and then he clicks off the flashlight and we got to just see a glimpse. And as we reach into the door of that room, we find no light switch to turn on the light to see the future. But look what Daniel's saying. If we were able to illuminate the room, you know what we would find there? Or better, you know who we would find there? We would find God in that room. And God has his tool belt on, and he's got his hammer and his saw, and he is building your future. So although my future is uncertain to me, I can have peace because of my confidence on who's in the room building my future. God himself is in that dark, mysterious room building your future. You may not get anything more than a little flashlight glimpse into what God is doing in your future, but we don't have to have fear about our future because the one that's in the room building it is the God who brings us what? Peace. He brings us peace. As we go back to the story of Easter and we talk with the people in this room, we realize the greatest hurdle that these folks have from moving from fear to freedom is a refusal to believe. This is so amazing. These friends and followers of Jesus who are locked in this room want to find freedom from their fears. They want to find freedom from their failures, freedom from their loss, freedom from the potential pain that's coming, freedom from not knowing their future. But what's keeping them from freedom is simply their refusal to believe. It's interesting in the Easter story, two women go to the tomb of Jesus before dawn on Easter Sunday morning, and they find that the stone that's in front of the tomb opening has been rolled away and Jesus is gone. And they're asking around, what did you do with the body? And all of a sudden Jesus appears to them and reveals himself to them. These women just get excited out of their mind and they run back to the house and they tell everybody, we've seen the resurrected Jesus. We've seen Jesus. And you know what the Bible says about the people in the room? They didn't believe the women. They just flat out didn't believe them. It was just their disbelief. A little bit later, Jesus is walking on this path to this town called Emmaus, and there two of Jesus' friends and followers are walking, and he joins them, and he looks different in his resurrection, so they don't immediately recognize him, and Jesus is playing with them a little bit, and he says to them, where are you guys going, and where did you come from? And they said, well, we're coming from Jerusalem, where all that craziness happened this weekend. And Jesus, playing with them a little bit, says, well, what craziness are you talking about? And they go, what, are you out of your mind? Where have you been living, on Mars? You don't know what's been going on in Jerusalem? And it says as they were walking along, Jesus was telling them about how the Messiah had to come and was going to die and be resurrected on the third day. And at a meal, at the end of their journey, the light goes on. And these two men realize, oh, wait a minute, this isn't just a guy traveling with us. This is the resurrected Jesus. And they freak out, and it says they get up at that moment and they hoof it all the way back to Jerusalem and they go back to the room. We've seen him. And it says in the text, they didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. You know, Thomas is in that room. What does Thomas say? I'm not going to believe him until Jesus himself appears and I can touch the holes in his hands and the holes in his side. I don't care what you guys say, ladies. I don't care what you guys say, men. I just don't believe him. The reason they couldn't move from fear to freedom is because they just refused to believe the story. And as we fast forward that idea again to today, I think that there are a lot of people today that just refuse to believe that Easter actually leads to peace. Jesus himself could have not said it any more clearly when he said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. The world offers peace through position or through possession or through success or through prestige. And Jesus said, all of that kind of peace is fleeting. You can talk to people that had it all, and in their heart of hearts and in the bottom of their souls, they're still longing for peace and there's still fear there. Jesus says, I'm not just coming to make your life better by the world's standards. I'm going to give you my peace, God's peace, that only comes from me. And he says, do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. Because his peace can actually conquer my fears. Well, you know, the people in this room as the story kind of unplays over the next day or two, we see a change in the people in this room. We see a transition. Because what happens is Jesus himself shows up. And he shows them his hands and his side. And all of a sudden, the people in this room have this huge transition. And instead of being skeptics and doubters and those that refuse to believe, now it says they embrace him and they are just blown out of their mind in joy and amazement. Look at this really great verse. There's a transition here. Look what it says about these people now. It says, while they still could not believe it because of their what? Joy and their what? Amazement. Have you ever seen something so incredibly beautiful it takes your breath away? That's how I felt when I first saw Ruth. It was like, wow, wow. I'm earning some brownie points today right now. Wow. If you're an artist, if you love nature, there probably have been times when you've come around a bend and seen something in creation and nature that just like, wow. If you like athletics, every once in a while somebody does something that's so unbelievable, you go, I can't believe what I just saw. Did anybody watch the NCAA games last night? I'm in a bracket. I got Gonzaga winning. And when that guy shot that three-point shot at the end of overtime from half court and it banked and went in, I thought, I can't believe that. If you're a musician and somebody draws out a string of sounds that just touches you to the core of who you are, you just go, wow, that is so beautiful. I can't believe it. These folks in this room changed from disbelief due to skepticism to disbelief because of amazement. Jesus is here. Wow, I can't even get my mind around a resurrected Messiah. And I'm overwhelmed by the glory of it. And they moved from fear to peace. It's such an incredible story. If we tracked the lives of these people in this room who were shaking in their boots and were locking the doors and the windows, if we were to track them over the next several decades, many of them became the first martyrs for Christ in the first century, who moved from fear and hiding to being willing to give their life for the cause of Jesus, because now they had his peace. They changed. Well, how do we move from fear to freedom? How do we do it in our lives today? I think maybe you can identify with one of these three statements. There may be some people in here that just need to come to Jesus because you've been trying to find peace. You've been trying to overcome fear in every which way but Jesus' way. You've been looking for it in yourself. You've been looking for it in this world. You've been looking for it in friendships and marriages. You've been looking for it in sex, drugs, and rock and roll. You've been looking for it in a wide variety of places. And you know in your heart, God has been knocking on the door of your heart, and he's been calling you and drawing you, and you've just been resisting him. And now today is the day where we open the door and we just let Jesus in. Maybe that's why you're here today. Maybe that's why you're watching today. Because you know that God has been using the circumstances of your life not to push you away, but to actually draw you near. And he's waiting for you to open that door. It's time to come to Jesus. And we're going to give you a chance in just a moment to come to Jesus. A second group of people that might be here today are people that need to come back to Jesus. Because you, like the friends and followers of Jesus, have been caught up in something and you've been hiding away from him. You've been locking them out of your house, of your heart. And you know in your heart you've been wandering. You know in your heart you've been pushing them away. You know in your heart you've said, I want to live by my agenda, God, not yours. I'm tired of doing it your way. I want to do it my way for a while. We've all been there. It's time to come back to Jesus. It's time to come back and just say, Jesus, I open the door again, and I let you in. But then there's maybe a third group here. People that need to just walk deeper with Jesus. You know Jesus, you've been following Jesus, but there's just an attitude or a mindset or a habit, or there's been failure in your life, and you're afraid to bring that failure to Jesus. Or there's been loss, and that loss has created hurt and fear and pain, and you've been challenged by God to bring that loss to Him because He's challenging you to go deeper in that way. There's been hurt, there's been pain, there's been this sense of an uncertain future, and you've been wrestling with that, and you've been trying to figure that all out, and God's saying, why don't you bring that to me and let me help you bring peace to that? And so there might be some here this morning that don't necessarily need to come to Christ or come back to Christ, but just open that particular area and go deeper with Christ. There's a room in your heart that's yours, and you haven't let Jesus fully into it. And today's the day that you unlock that door, whether it's about a thought life or an attitude or a hurt or a loss or a fear. And it's God is just challenging you in that particular area to go deeper with Him, to learn to trust Him more. Maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your kids, maybe it's finances, so that He can bring peace to that area. This is how we come from fear to freedom. Come to Jesus, come back to Jesus, or walk deeper with Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we thank you for this day today. Thank you for the story of Easter that happened outside of the tomb area in this house of fear. Thank you for bringing peace. And it's your peace that you offer to us today. So maybe you're here this morning and it's time to come to Jesus. You sense He's been drawing you for a while. And today's the day to open your heart to Him. It opens through a prayer that you can pray right where you're at. You can pray something like this: Dear God, I come before you today and I open my life to you. Please come into my life and forgive me of my sins. I surrender to you everything. I want you, Jesus, in my life to be my Lord and my Savior. If that's a prayer that you prayed this morning, I want to pray for you. So can you just lift up your hand so I can know that you can pray for you today? Anybody here pray that prayer today? Great. There's 1, 2, 3. Thank you. 4, 5. Maybe you're here this morning and God somehow orchestrated for you to be watching this today. You didn't expect to be watching it, or you're here today and you thought we were just going to celebrate Easter, but instead God is using this moment to bring you back to Him. And that's a courageous step. It's a hard step. And there are forces raging within you that are trying to get you not to make that step. But be strong and surrender again to Him. Again, it starts with a prayer. Dear God, forgive me for wandering. Forgive me of my sin. I come back to you today, Jesus, to start afresh. Thank you for your forgiveness and peace. I recommit my life to you. If that's your prayer today, I'd like to pray for you too. And if you'd raise your hand so I can know who to pray for. And anybody pray that prayer? Thank you. And maybe there's some of us here this morning that have just been saying, you know, there's this area over here in my life that I know it's not what God wants it to be, but it's hard to surrender everything to him. But you sense that God's been calling you to go deeper with him. Maybe deeper in your marriage with him, maybe in your parenting, relationships, finances, fears, anger. You're just going to say, God, okay, I surrender this area of my life to you today. Again, it starts with a prayer. Dear God, take this area. I let you in. God, I'm afraid of the failure and hurt that's in it. It's embarrassing. But I need your peace. So I invite you in. If you prayed that prayer today, I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. Let me know you prayed that. Amen. All over. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for Easter. In our world, there's been so much fear. Fear of failure. Fear of loss. Fear of hurt. Fear of an uncertain future. Thank you that the people that were your friends and followers were very real people just like us today. And they thought the response to the crucifixion and burial of Jesus was to lock the doors and bar the windows. And you stepped into that room and said, here's peace. Lord, may you step into each life today and bring your peace. We so desperately need your peace today. We may never find peace in our world again, but we can find peace through you because your peace is different. Be with those that have come to you for the first time today, Lord. Establish your presence in them. Those that are coming back to you, let them know that they are truly forgiven. No guilt. It's all been dealt with on the cross. And those that want to go deeper with you, Lord, in certain areas of our life, may you help them each day to receive your peace and to know that no matter what is going on, Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has already taken care of it. There's no shame that can keep us from Jesus. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and close our time in a song. And this song is a song that we use here sometimes as a way to just come to the altar, it's called. And just wherever you're standing today, if you need to just come to the altar in your hearts, then sing the song out to the Lord and give your life to him. Let's sing together.
Happy Easter, everybody. I hope you guys have a great week.